This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning. I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. Some primary and secondary schools have returned to in-person teaching and have shut back down again because of COVID-19 cases found among students, staff, and faculty. Colleges and universities are watching the pandemic radar carefully as students start to migrate back to campus. Will higher ed need to delay or restart instruction online? Ball State University President Jeff Mearns returns with us electronically to ponder these subjects and other matters. President Mearns, welcome back.
It is good to be with you, Stan.
Have you been pondering?
We are continuing to evaluate the circumstances on our campus, in our community, and trends within the state and all across the country, and continuing to monitor it on a very regular daily basis.
What is your take right now? How does it stand here on Thursday evening, Friday morning here of this week?
We are still preparing to resume some on-campus instruction and some on-campus activities in the next few weeks, with those on-campus classes beginning as scheduled on August 24th. We continue to adjust our protocols in anticipation of that start date. And as I said, we continue to monitor the landscape locally and regionally.
Your reentry plans for Ball State students, staff, and faculty do not require COVID-19 testing before returning to campus, but rather self-monitoring and self-reporting. Why no testing of students coming in from all points of the compass?
Well, first, let me share what our current protocol is. For students who are residing in a residence hall, they must quarantine for 14 days before they return, or they need to arrive on campus with a recent negative COVID test. If they're not able to comply with either of those preconditions, we've made some arrangements for a limited amount of tests for those students when they arrive. So we are doing a pre-screening protocol for students in the residence hall. With respect to all of the other students who are returning to campus but living off campus, we strongly encourage them to take one of those two precautionary steps. But let me explain our rationale. You know, re-entry testing, which is what we're talking about here, it presents some value in mitigating the risk, but it really is only assessing the risk at a single point in time, and the value of that testing then dissipates pretty quickly in a campus environment. For it to have really a strong value, you'd have to be prepared as an institution to continue with regular testing, and there's really some significant problems on our campus or any campus with regular testing. One problem, of course, is the cost. That's not our driving concern, but you can't ignore the cost. It's really about the availability of testing in our region, in our state, in our country. 3 weeks ago, when we developed the protocol and announced the protocol that I just described, the CDC and state public health people here in Indiana, they were actually discouraging colleges and universities from requiring all students to be testing on their arrival, that is, that return to campus. And it's because they were concerned about testing capacity, and they were concerned that doing that for 16,000 students at Ball State and multiply that number all across the state or all across the country, that would deplete critical testing capacity that's needed for symptomatic people. Well, that was 3 weeks ago. In the last 3 weeks, the testing capacity has actually decreased in our area. The shortages are more acute. So it's not just a practical question about the cost. It's really an ethical question. Should we at Ball State presume that our interests are more important than the needs of other people, people in nursing homes or healthcare workers or people who are symptomatic? But I'll just, one additional point. We are actively acquiring what is emerging in the market, which is low-cost rapid tests. They're less costly. They're becoming more accurate. And as those rapid tests become more readily available and more accurate over the next few weeks and months, that may become a more effective strategy than the one we have. And we will, if that becomes the case, we will quickly respond and we will adjust our protocols. But it would not be, I think, appropriate and ethical for us to do that at this point.
Should we be going back at all, given the fact that testing has been seen as an effective screening measure?
Well, we have other effective measures, Stan, and I think we shouldn't look to any particular measure as the silver bullet to solve the problem. It's really, do we have a comprehensive array of protocols, like, that in and of themselves, each one is not the silver bullet, but taking together provide a reasonable, safe environment.
Well, driving through campus earlier this week, my wife and I were masked, and we saw a friend of ours also masked and pulled over to have a conversation with her. And during that 20 minutes or so distanced with masks on, I observed roughly 30 people walking along McKinley Avenue. Only about a dozen were masked, and I saw three groups of college-age students walking together at various times, and nobody was masked. How is the university going to handle that sort of scenario? Granted, they were outside.
Our policy is, first of all, we have embarked upon and we're going to accelerate an aggressive communications campaign to reinforce the importance of mask wearing. We have videos going out on Monday. We're actually swapping out pole banners on our campus. You're going to see the person who's depicted on the big banner on the side of Teachers College will have a mask there. You might even see a mask on Beneficence. So we're emphasizing the importance of it. And perhaps most importantly, we have prepared a toolkit that we're going to distribute to faculty and staff about how they should deal with and respond to a student who isn't wearing a mask in a classroom or a hallway or a place where a mask is required. We're going to provide specific strategies to encourage student compliance. But I've been here 3 years, not as long, of course, as you, Stan, but I've been here for 3 years and I've come to know and admire the character of our community, including our students. And I am confident that as we embark upon this campaign, that people will understand the importance of wearing the mask and that people will comply. And we are prepared to deal with what I believe will be the rare exceptions to that rule.
Well, President Jeff Murns, you've got your work cut out for you as well as your staff here as we are almost 2 weeks away from the start of classes on the Ball State campus. Thanks very much for your time, as always.
You're very welcome, Stan.
The IPR forecast today, sunny with a high near 81. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.